Blog Talk Radio.
Staring at a stop sign, watching people drive by, T-Mac on the radio. Got so much on your mind, nothing's really going right, looking for a ray of hope.
Again, one more week. Don't Give Up Radio. I'm your host, Jackie Wayans. And that was Overcomer by Mandisa. And I usually start the show with that song, but tonight in particular, it is extremely fitting as we take a moment to remember the life of Nelson Mandela. And it was a full life, and it was a life that definitely signifies what it is to be an overcomer. He spent his life dedicated to a cause not just for himself, but for his brothers, for mankind, to make them better, to make us better. And he endured decades of suffering and hardship before he came out on the other side of victory. And that's what the show Don't Give Up is about. It's to encourage you, to let you know that you may be going through a midnight hour. You may have a vision. You might have a dream, and you're not exactly sure when it's going to come to pass. But if you don't give up, and if you stay focused and tenacious And most importantly, with God on your side, he has given you the ability to do anything that he has called you to do. And so we need to be focused on that and set our eyes on those things. And I'm going to have the privilege of speaking to a young lady who did exactly that. Graduated from college, a lot of different directions she could have gone, but a passion dropped into her heart, and she said, you know what? I'm going to pursue this on top of everything else I have going on in my life. I'm going to take on something extra, and that was creating garments of skin, which we will be talking about tonight in our fashion edition. And we might think fashion is not important. It doesn't play a role. It's not a big deal. It's a bigger deal than you think. So, Annie Jo, are you there?
I am here. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, welcome. I'm so glad to have you with us tonight, young and vibrant and talented. And I want you to just spread that around and allow our listeners to really feed off of that vibe and really get into it. So, you know, you are 22 years old, and mm-hmm. you graduated from college recently?
Yes, I graduated in 2012.
2012, so very recently. Okay,
yeah.
And so what was your major?
My major was International Management and French.
Okay, all right. And so now it's time to graduate, and you mentioned to me that you just had this desire to reach out to young women in regards to dress in particular. Talk to me about how this came about just a little bit in terms of what you were seeing that made you think this was even a need that you had to, you know, that you wanted to go in this direction.
Right. Well, it's such a large testimony, but I'll try to really pack it in for you. It really did start in my senior year of college, where I just started to notice God speaking to me about my dress and how, you know, one week I would, or a couple of days I would wear something very pleasing and appropriate, and then on the weekend, you know, I would try to seek attention from men and wear, you know, type of clothing that really wasn't glorifying God at all. So I was convicted of that after I graduated, and really looking back on my 4 years and just seeing, wow, you know, God, I could have had a stronger relationship with you if I had not been so two-way and two-sided on that. But God really convicted me on that, and he really pulled me together to be like, listen, there are some women out there that are struggling in this same situation where, you know, they're saying, I believe in God, but I, you know, on the weekends, I kind of want to dress like this because, you know, society says this is beautiful anyway, or, you know, I kind of need that attention from a guy right now. But he really just pressed on my heart that there were people out there that needed to hear my testimony and needed to have encouragement to really live and wear Christ every day. And it doesn't have to be, you know, turtleneck, long skirts. God really reveals
right.
me that colors and trends are, you can still kind of mold them into something being modest. But, yeah, that's how the passion all started. And I said, yes, God. And he provided me with a web designer, my friend Dominique, and we just went with it. And he gave me the name of the blog, where the scripture is coming from. And he really put it in a place where I really owe everything to God.
You know, that's one of the things you just said that is so key for anyone who's listening is this show is not about telling you that you can only wear brown, black, and burgundy and that, you know, you have to have your collar all the way up to your ears and you only wear skirts down to your ankles. That's not what this show is about. And we're going to address that in a very unique way. I think you have a keen view on this that really incorporates both thought patterns on dress and modesty and what that is. And we're going to get there, but if anyone, you know, while you're listening, you want to type in www.garmentsofskin.com, you can see from the website, we're not talking about looking like, you know, you're wearing sackcloth. Yeah. Talk to me about the title, Garments of Skin. Where did that come from?
That came from Genesis 3:21, and it reads, here I am. Awesome. So it reads, the Lord God gave garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. So when I was reading this whole chapter, I was kind of like really confused, you know, at one point early in the chapter, Adam and Eve make their own clothing, and then at a later point, God gives them clothing because it wasn't adequate. So I started digging, and really that verse came alive really to me, that God is the ultimate decider of what we really should be presenting, and we are ambassadors of Christ. If we really do claim to follow him and believe him, we are ambassadors of Christ, so we need to wear that every day. So garments of skin was really God clothing, giving adequate, suitable, durable, pleasing clothing for Adam and Eve so that he can pretty much view them, that they would be acceptable in his sight.
You know, it's amazing how we can read the same thing, and because of our particular gifts and talent and where God is directing us, we just see things differently. And I've read that scripture many times, and that just never stood out to me, but you're right. You know, fig leaves are not designed to last. They're not durable.
Right.
They're not going to, you know, stand the various weather environments and all of these things, but the garments of skin that he gave them was, you know, the equivalent of leather, you know, great quality, breathable, you know, all of these things. And so, you know, what you're bringing about can be translated into our daily decisions now. You know, we're not going to make this so far above that people can't figure out, you know, when you walk into a store what to do. And I really love that. You know, just listening to you, it sounds as if you grew up in a household of faith. Is that correct?
That is correct. When I was growing up, I was Haitian Baptist. My two parents are from Haiti. So we grew up in a church that, you know, we couldn't show our shoulders. We couldn't show, like, our legs. We had to have long skirts on. And if we were ever approaching the altar, we had to have something over our head. So all I knew was, you know, very strict clothing cover up when you're, you know, out and going to church and stuff like that. So,
You know, that is something that I think many can relate to. Either they're still in that, or they were in that at some point in time, and it's not an issue of should you be there or not be there. And like I said, we are just giving you some nuggets right now, but we're going to get into a real, like, practical tip section and really work this out. I almost wish this was a visual television show, but we're going to break it down because sometimes it is confusing. I remember when I first gave my heart over to God myself, I was 19 years old. Prior to that, I was a Janet Jackson addict, right? And at that time, you know, the years of control, she was wearing turtlenecks and all black, you know, but she made it cool. But in terms of just, like you said, you know, finding your identity and finding out how to express yourself. And so all of these things are really important. And a lot of young people are facing the pressures of looking at the images that are on television, you know, and it's harder nowadays because many celebrities are coming out with their own fashion line. So it wasn't, you know, back in the day, you had to try to put together the Madonna outfit or something like that. But now, you know, Kim Kardashian and Miley Cyrus and J-Lo, they all have their own lines. And so you can just go out and literally decide that you want to look like this person and dress like this person and try to imitate being someone else in a sense, you know, stepping into someone else's skin. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's definitely a big hurdle for young women now and just trying to find out who we really are. There's so much that society has placed in front of us that says, this is beautiful. This is what's going to land you to get on the catwalk if you want to be a model. This is how you need to look. This is what you need to wear. Instead of, you know, saying, look internally, figure out who you are first and just be that person. Originality sometimes is kind of masked where, you know, they're saying, yeah, we want difference, but they're still telling us exactly what to be and how to look beautiful and what to wear and stuff like that. So it's a big hurdle for young women to cross over. But what's more important is just finding who you are first and knowing and really being grounded in who God created you to be, not to imitate, not to be anyone else other than who God created you to be. So that's basically how I feel about.
Yeah, I mean, you're helping people find their own flame. You know, you can see someone else's star, you can see someone else's brightness, and you're attracted to that, but it doesn't mean you should try to be that. You have your own flame.
Right.
You have your own fire, and you need to find that out for yourself. So we're going to play a little bit of this track that says exactly that. Help to find your own flame. This is one you selected, and I had not heard it before. And
I don't want to ride on somebody else's passion. I don't want to find that I'm just dry bones. I want to burn with unquenchable fire. Deep down inside, see it coming alive. I don't want to ride on somebody else's passion. I don't want to find that I'm just dry bones. I want to burn fire. Deep down inside, see it coming alive. Help me find my own flame. Help me find my own fire. I want the real thing. I want your burning desire.
Help me find my own flame.
find my own flame. That is a wonderful, wonderful song. I don't want to ride on somebody else's passion. I want to burn
yeah.
with unquenchable fire. See it coming alive, my own faith and fire. I mean, and that can be taken on so many levels. You know, I opened up the show talking about Nelson Mandela, and, you know, there's so many great people who have inspired us on this planet, but we have to have our own. You were born for a reason. You specifically, if you're listening tonight, were born with a purpose, and the only way you're going to find that out is to go back to the one who created you and to simply ask, what is that purpose? And we are speaking tonight with Ann Jo, who is the founder and creator of the website, and the it's more than that. It's going to be a whole kind of movement, Garmin Club Begin, where we kind of are going to get into the nitty-gritty of, you know, how as young women and men, you know, how do we look sharp, look our best, you know, all whatever the new fashion word is nowadays to say that, you know, you are looking your best. I want to go back a little bit, and you touched on what the struggle was that you were seeing in society that you faced yourself. And so why don't we go back to you as the example, and you talk to me about what the struggle was and how you plan on addressing it as you, you know, relate to young men and women. You know, what's actually hitting them? I heard you mention fashion trends. Is there also another, you know, emotional things that are driving what we wear and the choices that we make?
Absolutely. I think a big part of it deals with emotion and really how we feel about ourselves, if we are accepting of ourselves, and in that comes self-esteem. And with these young girls trying to be other women, we kind of lose a part of ourselves. We kind of mask it and make it even smaller to make the illusion that we are becoming more like the person that we want to be or strive for. So that's really a struggle, self-esteem, self-confidence, and not having enough of it. You know, God has wonderfully and fearfully made each and every one of us, so we should really boast in that. We're not just, you know, some, you know, little thing on this world. We are really complicated. God really put time into us. We are made in his image. So one of the struggles is not accepting ourselves. And once I feel that, once we begin to do that, we're more accepting. We know who we are. We're not fazed by what society may think, or what is beauty, or what they may think what we should wear, or something like that. We are confident in who God created us to be. So I definitely think that self-esteem, you know, having self-respect and self-worth for yourself is a big issue with women today and men as well. And how I address that, my blog posts really vary. I definitely talk about modesty because that is pretty much the core, but I also talk about my testimonies and my faith tab. And I also bring along pick tips, which are, you know, just helpful tips to help people kind of go along their journey in modesty and kind of reforming what they have known to be, okay, this is acceptable, but not really. So I address those type of things in my blog, and I just hope that people are encouraged, that they take notes on it, that they see modesty from a different view as how, you know, society has painted modesty to be. It's really not bad at all, but, you know, just
well,
really,
you know,
also bring, yeah.
Yeah, no, I was going to say I want to get into that next, but I'll have a question.
Sure.
Perfectionism. When we hear that word, what is it really? Is it that we are trying to attain to be perfect, or is it that because we're actually insecure, we're putting on this mask of perfection? I mean, what is it?
Yeah, I think it has to, I mean, both of them really kind of apply to it. Once, you know, we're kind of making ourselves a little bit lower, we're masking things to try to put the persona of that we are, you know, perfect, or we have everything put together in our life, but also it can be, you know, really striving to get everything completely right. And, you know, obviously there is no such thing as, and when people say, or magazines read, like, perfect skin, if you want, you know, perfect whatever in this perfect body, that's what you need to do. There's no such thing. Even in ads that we see models and, you know, poses and stuff like that. It's not really real. They have airbrush, you know, they're putting on pounds of makeup. So reaching towards perfectionism is not going to get you to being perfect. I believe there's no such thing as perfect in this world, except God. But anyway, it does have those two balances in there.
Yeah, you know, I have a family tie. She's a model. Her name is Summer Wayans. Shout out to Summer
mm-hmm.
Wayans. And she is a plus-size model, right? And what I love about Summer is she's absolutely beautiful. I mean, just makeup, no makeup, she's beautiful. But I understand from the few conversations I've had online with her mom is that she established from raising her children that they're beautiful for reasons outside of just, you know, what your face
right.
looks like, you know, or
right.
if you were the traditional, you know, body size. And so when Summer shows her photos of her taking the runway, she's in complete confidence, you know, whereas
yeah.
someone like me, who's kind of like the average standard size, I'm always worried about this extra inch on my, you know, tummy and the muffin top and all this. So, you know, these self-conscious things, because you think you're supposed to look like this or look like that.
Right.
And that's a, you know, false sense of reality. And, you know, that confidence that we exude doesn't come from what we put on. It comes from what's going to come from inside of us. But again, I want to backtrack a little bit. You said you came from Haitian Baptist
yes.
church? Okay.
Yes.
Now, as far as I know, that is true old-time religion, right? And I would assume that, you know, it was a little different, difficult, because you said, you know, you were used to the high collars and the low skirts. And
right.
I see what you wear now, and I love it. It's fresh. It's fun. How did you make the transition, and how was it, you know, accepted by family members, by church members? Because some people want to,
yeah.
you know, step out, but they don't know how to do it, and then they're scared of what the response might be.
Right. I actually wanted to break out so badly, but during my earlier years, I was in school and I had to wear a uniform. But it was up until sixth grade that I was going into middle school, and I didn't have to wear a uniform anymore. So I had to go and shop for clothes. I never really shopped for clothes. So my mom and I went, and we went to Old Navy, and we got some shirts, and they were like 3/4 length shirts and jeans that were flare and went all the way down. And that was really the start of it all. And as I was in school, I started to see other people and what they were wearing and where they went to buy that. And I'm like, you know what? She looks cute. I want to buy that. I want to look like that. And so that kind of started with me just kind of, you know, okay, mom, I think this is the flare that I really want. It's like, no, you know, this has too many holes with rips and cuts in it. Like, but I like it a lot and stuff like that. But yeah, that's really how it started. It really was school, public school, that allowed me to break out of always wearing the long skirts and jeans and stuff like that. But when I got into high school, I did start wearing like tank tops. I was in track and field. I did volleyball. You know, we had to wear spandex shorts. So it definitely was an adjustment for my parents, because my parents, you know, believe we should all be covered reasonably, should not be showing anything that would afflict any emotion, arouse any emotion from either the opposite sex or anyone, period.
Does all that covering up really mean modesty?
I don't believe so. You can pretty much wear a potato sack and someone will find that attractive. It really, for me, really, like, to be honest, but for me, it really begins in the heart. If your heart is wholesome, it has character, self-worth, self-respect, dignity, and you're trying to portray that, it will naturally show through what you're wearing, and that you'll also have discernment. You won't just be like, you know what, I know I'm a virtuous woman, but I can put on anything. No, you'll have the knowledge to say, you know, this is what I should wear and this is what I should not.
So, you know, really it's a representation of the heart. That's what I was trying to get at before, right? So what you're expressing on the outside should really line up with what's going on the inside. And it's not necessarily an issue of not wearing makeup versus wearing makeup, but you make an interesting point about that. Can you share that with us?
Sure. Not wearing makeup and wearing makeup. So I definitely think that you shouldn't be attached to the object's makeup to make you, you know, oh, I need to look this certain way all the time, because it definitely is much better than what I look like naturally. We are to embrace who we are, but makeup should not be become an idol. Like, you need to have this. You can't walk out of the house without putting foundation on and eyeliner, lipstick, and all getting done up. It really needs to just
have my lip gloss. Though I do, I must have my lip gloss.
I agree. The lips definitely need to be moisturized. You know, have your lip balm with you. But definitely, like, heart attachment, right? You can live. You can live a couple of hours without the lip gloss or without the makeup. But it really should not be, okay, Annie is Annie when she has her makeup on. No, Annie is Annie, makeup off, with nothing, you know, just being you. And just makeup is just an added, okay, I kind of want to, you know, get done up a little bit today and just add that on. It's not, you know, molding your character. Your character, who you are, is who you are natural.
So now, if it is a representation of your heart, then whether or not you wear makeup, that the rightness of that has to do with who you are, right? So for some people, that is the right representation for them, not to wear any makeup, because that's who they are. That's who they're most comfortable with and what feels very genuine and right to them. And for other people, you know, it's perfectly fine for them to have, you know, whether it's a little bit, a natural look, a full glamour outlay, but it's that expression is going to come from the representation in your heart, and in doing that, doing it in a way that glorifies God. So,
right, I would definitely say that makeup. Oh, keep going. Okay, so I would definitely say that makeup should not distract people from, you know, who you really are. If it's going to give them a different persona of who you are and who you are supposed to represent, which is Christ, then, you know, you might have gone too far at that point.
Well, why don't you talk about the difference between not taking care of yourself and not drawing attention to yourself? Because I think those two issues get confused. Not taking care of yourself versus not drawing attention to yourself.
Okay, so not taking care of oneself how I view it would be not putting any effort to taking care of your temple. You know, God says our body is a temple and the Holy Spirit dwells within it, so we definitely have to upkeep ourselves for that, so that the Holy Spirit can just, you know, freely remain in us. I'm not saying that, I didn't shower one day, Holy Spirit's gone. No, it's not that. It's just, you know, making sure that you're healthy, making sure that you're upkeeping with, you know, daily hygiene, but not taking care of oneself. That's how I would say it is. Not drawing attention to oneself is not being, it's not putting extra stuff on to only seek attention from other people. We should be pointing people upward towards God. Like, what we're wearing shouldn't distract them at all from the one sole purpose, and that is to draw all men to Christ. So in doing that, we wouldn't wear so much flashiness in a sense that would distract our view of God.
And so therein we have the concept of modesty that we're talking about, because if you're to one extreme, you're not taking care of your hair, you're not taking care of your skin, you're not taking care of your body, you're not taking care of your temple, your vessel. And what mm-hmm. good are you going to be if your hair is falling out, your teeth are falling out? I mean, you're not going to be effective
right.
in even being able to have a conversation with anyone.
Yeah.
You know, they're not, if you're all disheveled and just ungroomed, you know,
mm-hmm.
you can't even
mm-hmm.
step into the workforce that way. So clearly that's not the way that you should go. And then the other extreme, not drawing your attention to yourself in the sense that it is all about you. And if I was
right.
going to pull a figure, I would say Lady Gaga, right? The extreme, you know, when she walks into an award show, forget what anyone else has on, right? It's got to
right,
be.
Right.
She's got to go to the top of the hill. And there's ways that we can do that in our arena, but let's not forget what you mentioned before. In terms of motive, that's a key piece. And we're going to come back to that. So the next segment is going to be called What Can I Do? You know, what can I do just practically as I make these decisions and make a difference?
Anybody in here dependent on Jesus? I mean, like, totally dependent on Jesus. And there's no point without him. It's a waste of time without him, right? Yeah. Feel free to sing with us. The song is simple, it says,
tell me, what can I do? Cause I can't live without you. I can't live without you. Oh, tell me, what can I do? Cause I can't live without you. I can't live without you. Oh, tell me, what can I do? Cause I can't live without you. Can't live without you. Oh, tell me, what can I do? Cause I can't live without you. No, I can't live without you. So here's my heart, here's my mind, I give you my soul, Lord. I need you to take control. Cause I tried it on, tried it on my own, but what I found is I can't make it on my own.
I can't make it.
So tell me, what can I do? 'Cause I can't live without you. I can't live without you. Oh, tell me, what can I do? 'Cause I can't live without you, Lord. I can't live without you. And Lord, I'm desperate tonight. I can't live without you. And I can't move without you, no. Oh, but I can't even breathe without you. But where would we be without you? Oh, where would we be without you? Lord, where would we be without you? Lord, I'm a lost cause without you. I can't even breathe without you, Lord. I can't even think without you, Lord. There's no need without you. Oh, so glad. What can I do? 'Cause I can't live without you. I can't live without you. Come on, let's sing it out. He said, tell me, what can I do? I can't live. Oh, oh, I can't live. Come on, sing it out and say, whoa, oh, 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 oh. Lord, we're crying out from our hearts, 'cause we need you today. Oh,
can I do? Well, we're going to find out some practical tips and guidelines right now that as we think about what we're going to purchase as we go into stores or flip through catalogs, we're going to have some key words that I'm going to give you, Anne, and you're just, I'm going to say the word and you're just going to tell me some things that, you know, we can really think about as we move forward. But the other part of what can I do, the first part of what can I do is if you're listening to us tonight, and you don't already have a relationship with the Lord, I just really want to turn your attention to Romans 10, 9 and 10, which says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, that you shall be saved. And see, once you come into that relationship with him, when his presence, his spirit is a part of you, you can actually wake up in the morning or before you go to bed at night and discuss the most minute details with him. So it's not that you can't make the decision of what to wear to work tomorrow for yourself. It's not that we're going to turn off our brain. It's just involving him in the conversation because there are things that he actually cares about. And so having said that, what are some of the things we can do? Because, you know, some people might say sheer talks, just ban them and burn them. There's no way that anyone who, you know, wants to be modest should wear anything sheer. But maybe the issue is not the sheer top, but the leopard bra that you're wearing under the sheer top that screams, hey, I'm wearing a sheer top, as opposed to wearing a camisole or, you know, something like that. So when we think about what to look for, I'm going to throw out the word quality. What comes to mind that we should be thinking of when quality plays a role?
I would definitely have to say, is it durable? Is the clothing that you're wearing, that you're picking out, durable? Does it have, I know some of the trends are cut-up things. You know, you think about it, how long does cut-up last? For me, I tend to buy something that lasts me through another season so that, you know, I have many uses out of it. It's durable. It's covering what I need to cover for a long period of time. I'm also, you know, thinking about, you know, even the type of clothing. We see more of a classic look come into play with, you know, better quality. You know, it's covering. It has enough material on it. And even when we're talking about sheer is not necessarily bad. What would make it even better, you know, is having that tank top underneath there, having that, you know, sweater on top that would, you know, make it just a little bit more suitable and more pleasing to the eye.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I sing, and you do too. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But sometimes you're invited to, you know, these hot summer events where you're outdoors and you're supposed to look like a fresh breeze. And one of the nice things to do is I like to wear a nice sheer light top where the breeze can move through. But I do. I wear a skin tone or a black camisole underneath. That's
mm-hmm.
also light, but cotton and absorbent, so that you don't actually see the perspiration coming through or anything like that. So you really have to just,
right.
you know, think it through. And I love a classic look. And classic might sound old if you're in your 20s and you hear the word classic, but all classic means is that it's a style that could be worn anywhere. Like you can go
right.
from your office to that play or that concert, and all you have to do is switch your earrings and your shoes, you know, to put a little splash
yeah.
onto it. So classic is really, everyone should have a few classic pieces, a classic pair of slacks, jacket, skirt, so that you can mix and match and blend it with many things. Do you agree with that?
I absolutely agree.
Okay. So the other thing people say limits them often is finances.
Yeah.
So I throw that word out. How do we handle cheap versus expensive?
You definitely have to keep your eyes open. Sometimes you'll find something that's flea, but it's actually good quality. You just got to do some digging. And other times you do have to go to that higher-end store. Being that modesty-type clothing is so small, like the target audience is pretty small, you know, prices tend to be higher for those types of clothing. But definitely you can make do with the things that are around you, with the stores that are around you, just making sure that it does cover, that you are comfortable, that it actually fits you and that it's your size, just so that, you know, you can save a little bit of money in going into Forever 21. That's actually a big saver. H&M, you know, is not too expensive for me in my opinion. But, you know, just, you know, sifting through and just finding clothes that really fits you.
Yeah, and you know, some practical tips with that is I have two lovely daughters who thankfully found thrift shops, right? And they also found places
shops.
Like Buffalo,
yeah.
Buffalo Exchange, which allows you to bring last season's clothes in, right? And you can exchange it and get credit and purchase things in the store. And what happens is these are people who had really high quality, high end things, and they just don't want them anymore. And they, you know, you can get, you know, designer name stuff that's gently worn. So that's a really great tip if you're not going to be, you know, too prideful to say you've got to get it fresh off the rack, you know, or something like
mm-hmm.
that. But here's a spiritual tip. I don't know if you've ever done this, but if I have a certain amount of money that's set aside just for shopping or just for clothing, I really pray and I ask the Lord to stretch the dollars and to allow me to find those wonderful saves. So it might be that I'm saving money or that the quality of it is so good as compared to the cost. But I find that whenever I pray that way, I really see it. I really see that I walk in and I find exactly what I'm looking for, or walk in and I can say, my goodness, look at this discount. It was just this price, and I expected it to be this price, and look, today it happens to be, you know, and I've seen him move in that way many times, especially with my kids. Having three kids and being a single mom, you've got to stretch those dollars. And so I've definitely prayed over the actual money, and I've seen him, you know, elongate and stretch it out. The next word I'll throw out is intention.
Yeah, intention. Your motives behind buying clothes. It definitely should not be anything self-seeking. It should really be about Christ. If this is what I'm going to wear, can people see that I'm a believer of Christ? or are they going to think of anything negative? So we really want to go into the store with a mindset of, you know, okay, I do need clothes for this purpose. I am out. I don't have a black sweater, and I need a black sweater. You know, nothing that's like, okay, it's all about me. I want to, you know, attract this person. I need this attention. It really should not be about that. So going in with the right intentions, right motives, you need something because you don't have it, is going to be better in the long run. And also just showing that Christ, that you wear in Christ, just, you know, making sure that you buy the right type of clothing too.
I think with intentions also, you want to ask yourself the question, and you said this earlier, why do I want to wear this?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
Why? So I do need a little black dress for the cocktail party, right?
Mm-hmm.
But does
yeah.
it have to plunge down to my navel, right? Or, you know, or
right.
I tend to, and it, because of my shape, I actually tend to like dais cut, you know, off one shoulder, kind of asymmetrical
mm-hmm.
cut. That's perfectly
mm-hmm.
fine to me, but maybe I'll carry a shawl or something like that if I want to be a little bit more discreet. But you want to, you know, ask yourself those questions. Why do I really – and be honest with yourself, because really
yeah.
God already knows the answer, right? So it's better for you to just
right.
be honest with yourself and say, you know, am I trying to get so-and-so's attention? Do I want to be perceived as, you know, a superstar? You know, what is my motive?
Mm-hmm.
Do I just, you know, I'm at that point where I'm wearing flat shoes everywhere because I just want to be comfortable, you know? So your intentions
right.
are really important to know for yourself and not fool yourself. When you look in the
yeah.
mirror, you need to know. Now, intentions and impression is a little different because intentions is you internally,
mm-hmm.
your thoughts, why are you going to wear this particular outfit or put it together? But now when I say impression, that's more so about the people around you. So what would you then bring to the table with that word impression?
I would definitely say know the people that you associate with. You know, if you're going to an outing that you know there's going to be a lot of, you know, people the same faith as you, then you know not to, you know, maybe put things on to maybe cause them to stumble. We are here to look out for our brothers and sisters in Christ. So really having the mindset of how people will view what I'm wearing, the impression that I'm giving of the clothes that I'm wearing. So, you know, really thinking about who you're around, your circle of friends, and knowing what to wear in certain situations and what not to wear, and having that discernment and going into the store saying, okay, I'm buying for this event, but I know this person's going to be here. You know, they might think a certain way. Let me make sure I'm focused, that attention is not drawn to my body, but it's a neutral ground, and, you know, we can have a conversation of faith without causing anyone to stumble in that conversation.
You know, I mean, I have so many examples on that one, and our time is going so quickly. But I remember years ago I was invited to a wedding, and the bride requested, it was an evening wedding, and I think
mm-hmm.
it was supposed to be one of those black, you know, elegant things. But I didn't have anything, so I asked my girlfriend. I borrowed a dress from her, and she was a little more diva than I, you know, and she gave me this great lace front, you know, long sleeve, you know, high neck
mm-hmm.
in the front, but it dropped in the back. But it wasn't, it was like a scalloped back, you know, very nice.
Okay.
And it flared out black on the bottom. Here's the problem. I didn't know that the bride didn't want anyone else to wear white. So even though it was white and black, she didn't want anyone else
oh,
to wear
yeah.
white, which I can understand. And then the scallop back seemed to really throw people. You know, the fact that I had the scallop back because of the environment that I was in. But I, you know, I was in my early 20s and I didn't really understand. We're not saying be someone different or let other people,
right.
You know, cripple your style. But what we are saying is that you don't want to put yourself or other people in a situation where they're uncomfortable. So I use summer camps as an example. At our summer camp,
mm-hmm.
no one wears bikinis, right? Everyone
mm-hmm.
wears one t-shirt, and if you don't have one, you throw that t-shirt over on top of that. I might it might be perfectly fine if I'm, you know, on my mom's island going to the beach to have a bikini on, right? But in that environment,
right.
it's not okay. And so to try to buck the system because you want to be you, you know, that's not the
mm-hmm.
moment for that, right? That's not the
right.
moment for that. And I think, you know, you talked earlier about, you know, stores in our community. I think we can have the power to change because some communities really, it's so difficult to find a classic, you know, piece of clothing. And you might have to extend yourself outside of your community, but tell that local store, you know, not everyone wants, you know, not to be able to look like this or dress like this. You should have something for everyone. And if not, we'll take our business elsewhere. I think if most people voice that, they would actually have more variety in stores for us. Before we go, I want you to take a minute. I know you also sing. You're a musician. Just can you tell us a little bit about that? Take a minute and just tell us about that part of who you are.
Sure. I play guitar, and I've been playing for a little under 2 years. And I sing. I'm on the worship team at my church, which is Christ Church in Montclair, New Jersey. And I also sing at IHOP, which stands for International House of Prayer, not the House of Pancakes, with my sister, who also plays piano. So, yeah, we are a singing family. We love to sing and glorify the Lord. And what better way to do that in other places and churches? So we just really try to just share our gifts with everyone.
Well, I know I'll definitely look for an opportunity to call on you and your sister sometime in the future.
Oh, yeah.
What are ways that people can connect with you? And because I know you want to do workshops and maybe even YouTube chats. How can people get involved?
Yeah, well, you can – I'm everywhere, almost everywhere. I'm on Facebook at Annie Jill. I'm on Instagram at Annie_21, and I'm obviously have my blog. I am doing some programs, partnering with other organizations, other nonprofit organizations. But yeah, keep posted. I post a lot of things everywhere. I'm on Twitter as well. So I would say, you know, go to my blog, garmentsofskin.com, and there you'll find events. Also follow me, and then you'll get updates and crazy stuff that I'll be doing, all for the glory of God.
All right. You're hearing it here on Don't Give Up Radio. I'm sure we will hear more from you, but thank you for really sharing this. I'm sure there's a lot of young people who really appreciated some of the nuggets that they got from you. So God bless, and until next time, for our listening audience, next week I'll be back, and we're going to continue on the line of women empowerment. Can sisters really be accountable to sisters, and can we lift each other up and help us to stay focused to reach our goal? So until next time, I want you to really just keep your focus. I always say, don't let yourself down. Be your best hero. It's your greatest hero is God, and that's why he paid the price of his life for you. And he did that so that he could fill you up to a place where you can just shine and be your very, very best. Until next time.
You provide the fire. And I'll provide the sacrifice. You provide the spirit. And I will open up inside. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up. You provide the fire.